Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend.
And Jamie is with us again today, and she's bringing a true crime book that is actually about a crime that was never solved. So with that.
That is correct. If you are looking for a whodunit, you might be a little disappointed because you'll get to the end and you'll be like, I still don't know who done it. So this book is called I'll Be Gone in the Dark, One Woman's Obsessive Search for the Golden State Killer. It was written by Michelle McNamara, which is sort of an interesting fact about this book is she died. And at first I thought, oh my gosh, she was killed by the serial killer. But it's nothing as dramatic as that, but it is sad and tragic. She died in her sleep at age 46, and she had spent about 10 years researching the book, and her husband, interesting fact number two, he's the actor Patton Oswalt. That name probably does not sound familiar. Oh, Katie made a face. Do you know who he is?
Patton Oswalt.
He was in King of Queens, and he was the voice of Remy in Ratatouille. If you see him or you Google him after this, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I know who he is. So they were married, and she spent most of their marriage researching this book. She was completely obsessed. She would work at night after she put her daughter to bed and do all this stuff. When she passed away, he's like, this book does need to be published. I mean, she spent so much time on it. So he made sure that it got written, and he wrote the epilogue. Interesting fact number two.
It's kind of sad.
It is sad. Yeah, I just Googled him again. He's recently got remarried, so he's back on his feet.
Good on you, Pat. For making sure her dreams at least got published.
Yeah, when I started reading the book, the voice was interesting to me, and then I went back and I realized the prologue is written by Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl. So the writing from the very beginning is extremely sharp and clever. So for a true crime book, it is very well written. Again, it's the Golden State Killer, California, for those of you not familiar with their state nicknames. This killer was active in the mid-70s all the way to the mid-80s. He started out, and this doesn't sound good, this is not a selling point, he started out as a serial rapist. He raped like 42 times before he turned to murder. He murdered 12 people. One of the things, I hate to use the word interesting, but about his choice of victims, he chose couples. The feeling was that he had stalked them first quite extensively, like he knew what he was getting into, and he would break into their homes when they were both home. He would generally, like one of the creepy things he would do is make the man lay down, and he would put a teacup on his back and tell him if the teacup shook, if he hear the teacup moving, that he would kill them. So he really terrorized the Sacramento area for many, many years. Extremely prolific. Like he would strike several times a month, and people were sleeping with hammers under their pillows and guns, and some couples slept in shifts where they would just wait. They were afraid to both be asleep at the same time. It was totally, totally awful.
I feel like this is the only time I feel safer being single.
Yes, yeah.
When hearing this story.
There you go.
Does the author give any impression, since this is unsolved, that perhaps the guy died, or did she think he was still out there somewhere?
So, great question. At the very end of the book, she writes, she calls it Letter to an Older Man, and it's a letter to the serial killer as the years have passed, but she's basically saying, one day there's going to be a knock at your door. One day we're going to find out who you were. So there's always a chance that he will get caught.
And I know you actually talked about this book at Story Bar Live recently. Do you have any plans to eventually do a serial killer curation?
Oh, yeah, totally. I have a kind of a weird connection with serial killers. The house that I bought when I first got married in the Heights was the former house of a serial killer, Elmer Wayne Henley, who also was extremely prolific. I think he killed 28 or 29 people in the 1970s in the Houston Heights area. In fact, some of my neighbors had unfortunately had their children back in the 70s murdered by Elmer Wayne and his crew. So, yeah, I didn't find that out until after I bought the house, but it was weird living in a serial killer's house. I don't live there anymore. But, yeah, I like true crime. I went through a stage in my early 20s where I read tons and tons of true crime. I don't read it so much anymore, but this book was a good return to it. It's a very solid true crime.
And how does this compare to some of the other true crime reads that you've liked?
You know, I used to, like everybody else, would read Anne Rule. Yeah. I think I read all of Anne Rule's books. It's very, very well researched. It's very focused on not only the victims and who they were, but also the investigators that work the cases. So it really is a great piece of true crime. Except for the fact that they don't catch the guy.
Yeah.
There's that.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about? Who might like the book?
Right now, really big in genre fiction is this kind of, it's not a new genre, but it's kind of like really exploded, the psychological thriller, mm-hmm. which is different than the serial mysteries that people read that always have the same detective or the same person. These psychological thrillers, like Gone Girl, that was kind of the big one. The Woman in the Window is one that's mm-hmm. really popular right now. Just people who like a really good mystery that is centered around one thing. It's not like a James Patterson or a Daniel Silva or a spy or anything, just like really serious detective type.
Something a little more realistic than someone solving like 50 murders in one town.
Yes. Yeah. It's no Angela Lansbury. It's not for you.
Okay, so we are going to get into our next round, our game show portion of the evening. We'll put in some mysterious music. Ask you if you would be able to cast the characters in the book if it were to become a movie.
So this one, just because of the way it's done, it probably would be a good movie. I think it would really have to be not a documentary, but I think that the writer, Michelle McNamara, who is deceased, I think she would have to be the central character, and it would like follow how she researched the different crimes. Mm-hmm. She actually has an interesting story. In her own neighborhood growing up, there was a girl murdered, and that kind of started her obsession with true crime, and she started a blog called True Crime Diaries. So again, she was very obsessed with the true crime, and I think she would be the central character in the movie, and I would put the girl who was in Gilmore Girls, not the young one, but Lauren Graham.
Yeah.
I would cast her as Michelle McNamara. So if you're out there, Lauren Graham, I've got a movie deal for you.
Are you given any reason why she was drawn to this case? Because that's a long time to spend obsessing over a single killer.
That is a great question for which I do not have an answer.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to move on to our rapid fire round. We're going to ask 5 questions and we ask for minimal explanation. Leslie?
Are there any parts of the story that you would change if you had to go in and rewrite any part of it?
Oh, yes, of course. I would make it so the guy never killed anybody or he got caught right away. Yeah, no, that's hard because it's nonfiction. That is that is absolutely hard. But yeah, he'd get caught in the end, and for sure.
Why did you choose this book?
I like the cover. No, I was kind of looking for something to do a thematic thing for Storybar for. Yeah. So true crime. And I do like the cover.
Okay.
So years from now, let's just say you remember that you read this book. What would be one of your lasting impressions of it?
Just the sense of that it's unclosed, that the murder is still unclosed, and then I would think about it later, and maybe one day I'll see this on the news, and it'll be like, we finally caught the Golden State Killer. So, yeah.
Was there a main setting in the book?
Sure.
Like, obviously California.
California,
but,
yeah.
Was it about one, like...
Yeah, it was, like, it was basically outside of Sacramento. He was called the East Area Rapist, or mm-hmm. the Ear, which makes it even creepier, East Area Rapist, EAR. So yes, that is the East Area of Sacramento.
Okay.
And what drink would you recommend to enjoy with this book?
Ooh, super strong whiskey. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but you want to keep your wits about you, so maybe just water. Take it slow.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to get to our random line, so go ahead and roll the dice.
I'm gonna roll the dice.
Very good.
And that means I read page 19, line 3. Okay, so this isn't as poetic because it's nonfiction, so here it goes. To Irvine police, Manuela Withune's murder was rare. To Jim White... it was familiar.
Dun, dun, dun. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us today.
And stay tuned for more fantastic book recommendations next week.
Yay!
Thank you.